And now, the world's most exciting podcast, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, New York Times best-selling author and National Radio Hall of Fame inductee, Michael Savage.
Joining us right now is David Rubin, the former mayor of Shiloh, Israel, to discuss this with us. Mr. Rubin, welcome to the Savage Nation radio program.
Well, thank you. Good to be with you.
Why suddenly do these haters, why are they all going to Israel? What, to make Israel look bad?
No, to gain a platform to criticize Israel, to criticize America, to criticize Jews. That's what they're looking for, and it gives them a very nice platform to stand in the background with Israel in the background, with the walls of the old city of Jerusalem in the background. That's what they want. They just want
to. In my opinion, is they shouldn't be allowed to enter the country. So I understand what could happen if that happened. But what is your opinion? Should they be allowed to enter the country?
No, absolutely not. You don't allow in people who are going to be criticizing you publicly. There is a law in Israel. Anyone who is promoting and advocating for the boycott of Israel is not going to be allowed into the country. The prime minister is showing weakness. And look, Ilhan Omar knows, just like anyone in the Middle East knows, that when you see weakness, you pounce on it.
I agree 100%. So you are the former mayor of Shiloh. Tell the listeners of the program where Shiloh, Israel is. Where is it on the map?
Shiloh is in the heart of Samaria. It's the biblical heartland of Israel. Most of the world calls it the West Bank, with a mistaken name. You won't find it in any history books. You won't find the West Bank. You will find Shiloh, yes. First capital.
Well, of course, it's biblical, Israel. Sure. So now you've got these haters, these anti-Jewish, anti-Israel, anti-American haters, Omar and Tlaib, going to visit Israel. I would say don't let them in. And why is Netanyahu showing this weakness in your estimation, Mr. Rubin?
Because he's very concerned about the political game in America. He's very concerned about support for Israel being a bipartisan issue, being a consensus issue. But it hasn't been for a long time. As I wrote in my book, Trump and the Jews, the issue of Israel has long ago ceased to be a bipartisan issue. We have to understand the reality that the Democratic Party has been moving to the far left for a number of years now. Most of the anti-Semitism and the anti-Israel hatred comes from the far left of the Democratic Party these days. Fortunately, the leadership of the Democratic Party is running scared. I would love to know where Chuck Schumer has been hiding since these women have been advocating.
Well, where did this hatred come from this Rashida Tlaib? She's Palestinian in origin, correct?
Yes.
Today, Mr. Rubin, I want to run it by you. Maybe you have friends in Israel you can tell us to. The worst mistake Israel could make, in addition to letting them in, which is already a given, is having European Israelis be their hosts and their spokesmen while they're there. I believe the Israelis should use the Sephardic women in their government and the Falashas in their government to interchange with these women, because it would take a lot of wind out of their sails. Do you agree with that from the point of view of optics?
Sure. There's a lot that could be done once they are actually here, if their plan is to meet with Israel's leaders, if Israel is controlling the visit. But I guarantee you that Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib are not looking to have the Israeli government coordinate their trip. And they're not looking to coordinate it with Israel because they don't believe in Israel. They think that, you know, they like to say that Israel doesn't belong here, that Israel is an oppressor. That's the narrative they like to bring across. So, there's a lot that Israel's leaders could do if they were coordinating the trip. But I will virtually guarantee you that those two women will not be allowing Israel's leaders to coordinate the trip.
All right, so they're going to go over there, go to Israel, and go right over to Judea or Samaria and meet with some of the Palestinian agitators, no doubt, right, and scream about poverty, oppression, racism. That's what we're going to hear right away?
That's absolutely it. That's absolutely it.
We see it already. I can write the script. Mr. Rubin, former mayor of Shiloh, Israel, and the Savage Nation, Iranian attacks on tankers. What is this about? The downing of an American drone? Only Israel has been launching significant military strikes against the radical Islamic regime's military forces. Why is the Jewish state the only country responding militarily to Iran's aggression, do you think?
Well, Israel understands that Iran is an existential threat to Israel, and that if they are allowed to be based in Syria, which is where they're trying to set up military installations, that they have to be stopped. And so we have attacked Syria hundreds of times, Iranian installations, military installations in Syria. And the only way that you stop Iran is by attacking them. You know, sanctions help. I'm not going to say they don't help, but they are not going to stop Iran's aggression. And at some point, they have to be confronted. So we've been confronting them.
Well, you know, I know Iranian people here in America casually, and I speak with them, and they tell me what happened since the Islamic fanatics took over the country, what has happened to human rights. It's disappeared. Women have been turned into a second-class or third-class citizens. The people in Iran hate the mullahs. Is that true? I mean, do you see that as well? The average person hates the mullahs in Iran?
Oh, certainly. A tremendous amount of repression in Iran. There have been rebellions. There are even members of the regime in Iran that have been trying to rebel against the regime and secretly met with some American officials recently. This wasn't reported that much in the media, but it did happen.
Why do you think the British are so supine with their lack of response to the Iranian seizure of their oil tanker? They're like a supine nation now. What is that going to do? It's only going to encourage their enemy, isn't it?
Well, that's the influence of the European Union. The European Union is a bunch of panderers, and they don't know how to fight back against aggression. Hopefully Boris Johnson will change that situation.
Now, where can people get a copy of your book, Trump and the Jews? It's at Amazon.com. You type in Trump and the Jews. But I want to go into that book for a minute. What is your thesis in the book, Trump and the Jews?
Well, look, I speak all over the United States, and whenever I speak to Christian audiences, they ask me, what is it with the Jews in America? Why are they so liberal? And I decided that if I was going to write a book about Trump and his relationship to the Jewish community, I had to examine that as well. And one thing that I found from my research, first of all, Trump had strong relations with Jews in New York as a businessman, and some of his closest confidants are Jews from New York, and of course his family members, and he has Jewish grandchildren, so he is connected to the Jewish people. But fortunately, the Jews who came to America, they came as immigrants in poverty. There was a lot of discrimination against them, but do you think that they had days of rage like Al Sharpton would have them do? No, just the opposite. They worked hard, and they sent their children to school and made their children learn hard.
Right.
And they got ahead.
But absolutely, through hard work,
as a result,
education,
as a result,
diligence, loyalty to the country. They knew the children would do better than them. But that's long gone with the guys like Sharpton. I understand that.
Right, but that has always been the Jewish approach, to work hard and to try to get ahead through your own accomplishments. And that's something that Trump understands. So there's a commonality of values between President Trump and the traditional values of the Jewish people.
You know, what bothers me the most is when I was hearing them call him racist, sexist, homophobe, and anti-Semite, I would get enraged on this program, Mr. Rubin, because I knew he had Jewish grandchildren. His son-in-law is an Orthodox Jew. His daughter converted to Judaism. I went to a Hanukkah party in the White House with him last December. This is the golden age for Jews in this White House, and yet the left continued to pile on with the biggest lies I've ever seen since the lies of Nazi Germany.
Yeah, absolutely. President Trump has accomplished more for the U.S.-Israel relationship than any president in history, from the moving of the embassy to Jerusalem, from the doing away with the American participation in the Iran nuclear deal, which was a disaster for Israel and for the United States. He stopped the payments to, he didn't stop the payments, but he stopped the American payments to the Palestinian Authority until they stopped paying the terrorists. I was wounded in a terrorist attack. My three-year-old son was shot in the head.
What?
But those, yes.
Wait, please. Did your son survive that?
Yes. thank God he survived. The bullet missed his brainstem by 1 millimeter.
Oh, my God. Where did this happen? What city?
Between Shiloh and Jerusalem. We were driving home, and that's where it happened. The terrorists were on the side of the road from the Palestinian Authority. They had AK-47 assault rifles. I was shot in the leg. He was shot in the head.
How did you survive the gun battle? Who saved you?
Well, the bullets kept missing. There were only those two bullets that actually hit us. There were 49 bullet holes in the car, and I got the car to start somehow after a lot of tries.
What do you mean? You were able to drive away with? You were able to drive the car away in the middle of a machine gun attack?
Yes, yes. It wasn't easy. Believe me, my leg was bleeding profusely. The car was shaking the whole time, but I got up the road, got to an ambulance, and eventually we got to the hospital.
Did anyone catch these sterling examples that Mrs. Tlaib will be looking for? Were any of them captured?
I would be happy to meet Mrs. Tlaib so I can give her a piece of my mind.
I don't doubt that you would. Again,
no.
We're speaking with a man named David Rubin, former mayor of Shiloh, Israel. His book is called Trump and the Jews, available on Amazon.com. I thank you very much for speaking with the Savage Nation today, and God bless you. God bless you is right. The things that people have to live through, and they do live through it, and they get up and they pick themselves up and they rehabilitate themselves and they go on in life. They don't roll over. It's a miracle to me what human nature really is.
Savage.